opening up access to an interview that we did a couple of weeks ago with Brother Terrell and Sister Deborah. We got their personal testimony in interview form, and he's going to load it up in all the same places that he did the podcast with Brother Blash, and it'll be under our New Life podcast heading. It'll be available. He's divided it up some. Sister Deborah's testimony is first, and then Brother Terrell's. I want you to know this is a compelling testimony to share with somebody that's outside of the faith. This is a really good look at a contrast between kingdom culture and the culture of the world around us, and the outcomes associated with living a kingdom culture life. It is absolutely wonderful to see the fruit of the kingdom of God, the fruit of the word of God, as we see lives blossom and lives take shape. And so just want to give you a heads up on that. Also, for those of you that were in an area of ministry this morning and you were not able to sign up, we have the New Life Bible Study Manual now in production, and it'll be available here in probably a week or so. And so we have some samples of it out on a table in the foyer, and if you want to sign up for it, we're going to sell them here in-house for production price, which is like $50. And so go ahead and avail yourself of this. It is a evangelism, and it is discipleship, and it's chock full of good things to share with your family and your friends and your neighbors, to teach your children. And so I would, if you have an interest in it, you need to sign up, so I'll know how many to round up. But we're so glad for what God is doing. I love the presence of God in the house tonight. Could you once more lift up your voice, lift up your hands, and magnify Him, and just cause the name of Jesus to be magnified in this house tonight. Brother Stephen, come preach the word of God tonight.
Come on, just hold your hands up for just a moment and let's be sensitive to the presence of God. In the name of Jesus, God, we honor you today, Lord. We glorify your name and worship you, God. Praise God. Praise God. I've been living for God all of my life. This is just about all that I know. And tonight is just one of those sweet, sweet services where you walk in and the prayer is anointed and the singing is anointed. And as I looked around the house tonight, I saw glory on every face. Praise God. And I want to say tonight that it is the glory that makes all of this worthwhile. It is the glory of God that makes the... We have wonderful music, but it's the glory of God that makes the music go. We have wonderful worship, but it's the glory of God that makes the worship go. We have anointed prayer, but it's the glory of God that makes the prayer powerful. As we were singing, I saw people coming to the front spontaneously, and that's what happens when the glory... Anybody thankful for the glory of God? To be the people of the name, to be the people of the word, and to have the opportunity to go beyond the veil, to go into the Shekinah, into the Holy of Holies tonight. Praise God. What a great God we serve. Praise God. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 78 tonight. Psalms chapter 78. Praise God. Good to see you in the house, Sister Danette. Praise God. How many of you are thankful to see Sister Danette here tonight? Praise God. God is doing awesome stuff, and I'm just excited to be in His house tonight. Praise God. Psalms chapter 78, beginning in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." And then Matthew chapter 27, Jesus talking to his disciples in a moment of intimacy. Matthew 10 and 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the mountaintops. I want to preach for just a moment on this simple title, Conversations in the Dark. Conversations in the Dark. Why don't you put your Bible down and give God some praise for his word tonight. God, we love you. We magnify you, Jesus. Bless you. You can be seated in the presence of God tonight. In our conversation from this morning, David is running for his life and hiding in caves and running from pillar to post, trying to survive this wilderness experience in his life. But as he does so, as we talked about the fact that early on in his life and ministry, he had quite a bit of success and seemed like everything that he tried to do went well, and he had victory after victory after victory. And I think this to some degree represents the early experience in the kingdom of God. And David his life represents a pattern for us. But as he journeys through his life and his calling, he reaches a place where he is running for his life and he is in a wilderness experience. But as he is in that wilderness experience, he was compassed about like we are tonight. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstance is, there's somebody who's been where you are. There's somebody who's faced the trial that you're facing. Somebody that has faced the test that you are facing today. And David was not alone in his wilderness journey. He was literally, he had people with him, but he also had a heavenly host, a group of witnesses, people who were also faithful in their life and to their calling and who also journeyed into the wilderness. From a biblical perspective, Jesus and John the Baptist and even the Apostle Paul, who was before named Saul, would travel into the wilderness, and Abraham and Moses, these men of God, the nation of Israel even, would take a journey into the wilderness, and each of us must experience our own wilderness experience. And as we discussed this morning, the nation of Israel would experience their own journey into the wilderness, but several hundred years earlier, Abraham is visited by God on multiple occasions in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15 and chapter 17, God comes to him and he makes a covenant with him and he makes some promises to him, and God begins to expound on the things that he's going to do in his life. And we understand that as an extension of Abraham, we are also blessed by the covenantal promises of the kingdom of God. God visits Abraham and he makes promises to him, and God calls him away from his family and his country, and he calls him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he takes him into a wilderness journey, and Abraham experiences travel around the wilderness. And as Abraham encounters his own wilderness experience, God comes to him and God reiterates the promise over and over and over again. I'm going to give you a seed. I am going to bless you. Your name is going to be great. I'm going to cause everybody that blesses you to be blessed, and I'm going to cause everybody that curses you to be cursed, and a great nation is going to come out of you, and in your seed shall all the nations of the world, all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God continues to visit with Abraham, and he continues to reiterate those promises to him. And they have this back and forth exchange, God coming to Abraham. And Abraham constantly, God comes to fellowship with him. In one place, he tells Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. And he's trying to explain to him that there is a reward to walking with God that is greater than the blessing There is a reward to living for God that's greater than all of the monetary gain and the land that's going to come into his possession. God comes to remind Abraham that in all of your getting and in all of your acquiring, I am your exceeding great reward. I want to stop and tell the church tonight that in no matter what else is happening in your life, the most powerful part of being in the covenant with God is to feel what we felt here tonight. The most powerful part of being in the covenant with God is when God, by his power and sovereignty, chooses to come by the house and visit with us. I just want to remind somebody here today that no matter what else you're going through in life, that God is the benefit. Relationship with God is the benefit of living for God. No matter how high your mountaintops get, no matter how low your valleys get, the recompense for living for God is to have the privilege of being face to face with God, of having intimacy and fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why we do what we do, and God comes to remind him of that. But as is the nature with flesh, Abraham begins to talk to God. But God, I go childless, and this heir, this seed in my house, this child in my house, Eliezer, is my heir. And if I died today, I wouldn't have anybody else to give the inheritance to. But God tells him, no, it's going to be in your seed, and it's going to be in the children born of Sarai at this point. And so Abraham is walking around in a wilderness experience, and God comes to reiterate his covenant to him, and he tells him, he introduces in chapter 15 the covenant of circumcision, and that there's going to be a sign between me and my people, and I'll be able to look down in the earth and know that you're my people. God is setting something up that's going to reverberate throughout time, and Abraham entreats God. He says, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit the land? What is the sign that you give me, God? And he said unto him, God saying unto Abraham, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took all of these and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell on him. Now God has given him instruction, and God has given him the plan and what he wants him to do. And Abraham is faithful to it, and he lays it out upon the altar. But why is God waiting? Why is God delaying in coming to Abram? Why does God halt in revealing or speaking to him? And I want to propose to you, because that there are some things that God will only tell you in the darkness. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. This is God's plan. It's slavery, and the whole process of bringing them out, and the process of recreation that's going to happen in the nation of Israel is going to happen in Egypt. And God is telling Abram, he's telling him in a place of darkness some things that are going to unfold for the people of God. They're going to be afflicted, and they are going to be persecuted for 400 years. A handful of tribes are going to go into the land of Egypt, and they're going to be there. They're going to be in a divine holding pattern, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to your fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. And so God begins to reiterate to him the land that he's going to give to the people of God. Now, this information that Abraham receives in darkness, this prophecy, this promise that he receives in a place of utter darkness, in a place of scary darkness, this information will be the very thing that God designed to help the children of Israel when they were in their wilderness experience. Because the wilderness will produce some things that are necessary to actualizing the kingdom of God. So while Israel is in Egypt and they are holding on to a word from God, it's going to be what Abraham received in darkness that's going to be declared to the next generation, that God is faithful to keep his promises. God reveals to Abraham what he's going to do in his life. And for 400 plus years in Egypt, the people of God will hold on to a promise, will hold on to a word from God. I don't know if you have a word tonight, something that God has spoken concerning your life, a prophecy, something that the word has declared is going to come to pass in your life. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you've had a sleepless night, if you've had a night of darkness, if you had a season of your life where you've been up crying and talking to God and travailing for maybe a lost loved one, maybe a child, and God has given you a word, I've come to preach to somebody here tonight that it is the promises that God speaks in darkness that will sustain you in your wilderness season. It's the promises that God has spoken to you in the midnight hour that are going to keep you going when everything is falling apart around you. Israel is going to be in Egypt, but they're holding on to a promise. Israel is going to be under the taskmasters of Pharaoh, but they're going to hold on to a promise. They're going to be anointed mamas that are going to pray, and they're going to hold on to the promise, continuing to be faithful to what God has outlined for them. In that place of darkness, God gives Abram a word. They're going to be praying, God, fulfill what you promised to us. So as they're leaving Egypt, they are leaving on the power of a prophecy. They're leaving on the power of a word that God has spoken to a man in darkness. Every step of the way, God is present with them. They cannot see God present. There are components of God's plan that are not obvious to them. But as they leave Egypt, they are leaving with God's Spirit surrounding them. They are riding on the wave of a prophecy. Generation after generation being told, there's coming a day when we're going to leave this place with a high hand. They are surrounded by the presence of God. They are surrounded by types and shadows. They are, as a matter of fact, there's all kinds of things happening for the children of Israel as they leave Egypt that they cannot see from where they're standing. Every step of the journey, God is with them. Every step of the process, God's presence is there. And in typology, the Christ, the Messiah, the Comforter, the Prince of Peace is present with them. He is the lamb for the sacrifice. He's the prepared place in Goshen. He's the blood on the doorpost. He's Moses, the deliverer. He's Aaron's rod that budded. He's the rock of which out of which water flowed. He's the manna that came down from heaven. He's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He is the tables of stone, and he is the word of God. And the entire time that they are traveling through this wilderness experience, God is present all around them. He is present literally. He is present figuratively and allegorically. God is present, but they murmured because they could not see him. They complained because they could not perceive him. And they were filled with unbelief while walking out on the word of God, while leaving Egypt on a prophecy. They had a word from God spoken in darkness to their father Abraham, and they had provision all around them. They had a sure word of prophecy, but it wasn't enough, because some things you will never believe until you have your own wilderness experience. Some things you will never believe until you're up in the middle of the night praying to God, and God comes in that moment and begins to. I'm telling somebody here tonight, you wonder why the things happening in your life are happening, and I've come to tell you that there are some things that will never be deeply embedded in your experience until you are walking in your wilderness. I know, young person, you hear the word preached service after service, but there's got to come a place in your life where you begin to carry the word on your own shoulder, and where you begin to walk out into your day, and where you begin to face trials for yourself and difficulties for yourself. There's got to come a point in your life where you begin to pray prayers to God that say, God, I need deliverance. God, I need a breakthrough. God, I'm just telling you, there's got to be a point for another generation where they buy in to what they've heard preached time and time again, over and over and over again. And they say, that word is not just for my mama. That word is not just for my daddy, but that word is for me. And I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to buy into the prophecy for myself, and I'm going to develop an intercession that comes up out of my belly. I'm telling you, there's got to be a place where you buy it for yourself, where you experience it for yourself, where you begin to pray the prayer for yourself. Abraham received it in darkness, but the children of Israel for 400 years in slavery and in bondage, they murmured and complained. They were surrounded by the blessing. They were surrounded by the provision. God's presence is there with them, but they could not see it and they could not believe it. David had his own wilderness experience. David had cave after cave, darkness descending upon him in the night. And that is our text in Psalms chapter 78. Psalm 78 is a reminder about what God told Abraham in a vision and what he did for the children of Israel when they left Egypt and crossed over the Red Sea. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our father have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. All of this is looking back at what happened for dad and what happened for mom and what happened to generations past, that they should make them known to their children. And this law is static and fixed, and these principles are sure and true, but there's got to be a point where the generation that hears them preach buys in to those promises for themselves. There's got to be a point where you walk out on the water for yourself and you say, yes, I heard the word of God preached, and yes, I heard Brother Cliff's testimony about what God did in his life, and I heard Brother Travis's testimony about what God did in his life, and I heard Brother Hagedorn's testimony about what God did in his life, but I've got to get a testimony for myself. I've got to get a prayer life for myself. I've got to get a word for myself. There's got to be another generation that rises up and says, I've got to get an experience for myself. I've got to walk through some things for myself. Where is the God of Elijah? It's got to be a point where that mantle becomes the possession of another generation that said, I'll walk through some lonely places like Elijah walked through. I'll walk through some scary places. I'll make some sacrifices. Listen, I remember times past. I remember generations past that when the pastor would preach under the anointing of God, men would come down to the front and lay baseball cards on the altar. They paid their price. They made their sacrifice. But I'm looking for another generation tonight that would say, I'm not going to let this be something that was just for generations past. But I wonder if there's a generation that I'm preaching to tonight that says, I'll lay some things on the altar in my generation. I'll make some sacrifices in my generation. I'll put it all on the line in my generation. What will follow in this passage of Scripture is an itemization of everything that God did for the children of Israel. It was all the fulfillment of prophecy. And they still didn't believe that God was in it, that He was working it out for their good, that their lives could be a beautiful masterpiece of the provision and glory of God. They didn't believe it. They couldn't see it. In their trouble, in their wilderness, in their darkness, they griped and complained and murmured against God. But every generation has to experience their own wilderness, their own conversations in the darkness. In the kingdom of God, information is progressive. Nobody has all the information at one time. The bishop doesn't. The Bible study teacher doesn't. No dispensation has all of the information about what God is trying to do in the earth. It comes in degrees, and so God reveals Himself progressively, but not just in a macro sense, not just in the sense that God is going to reveal all of His identity over time and by dispensation, but no individual in a specific period of time has all of the information that God is going to reveal. When I fail to employ faith, when the word goes forth, when God shows me some component of His plan or His purpose, and when I don't receive the word by faith, it becomes unprofitable to me because it's not mixed with faith. And so when God shows me what He wants to do next in my life, I have to purchase that word for myself. And when I purchase, when I buy in, when I say amen and I begin to make application, then the next revelation that God has for my life is going to come into my life. And so God reveals His plan and it unfolds, and it's from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And if you ask, you're going to receive. But when we receive, we are responsible for what we know. And this is what happens with the rich young ruler. He asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. You know the commandments. He said, I've kept those from my youth. Now, what Jesus is about to do is He's about to show him that that the information is going to unfold progressively, and that what you've been given, you are responsible for. But once you've been responsible for what you've been given, now there's something else to know. And so Jesus said, but if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. You can put up treasure. Now, what that is a progressive revelation. It's showing us that there's more to God than what you've experienced up to this point. But what happens to a lot of people is God gives them a word. He tells you what He wants to do. He tells you how it's going to unfold. And when I don't mix faith with the word, it becomes unprofitable. And God will leave off talking. God will stop giving new revelation. And so God will say, this is what I want to do next. This is how I want it to unfold. But if I don't mix it with faith, then I will not continue to receive from God. Progressively, by degrees, God revealed Himself to His followers. And they showed hunger. As they did, He gave them more. And as He gave them more, He gave them greater access to Him. He allowed them to draw closer to Him by degrees, because there are some attributes and components to God that if we don't show hunger for it, if we're not aggressive about it, if we're not assertive about it, God's not going to show us. There are some places, and I remember Brother Emery preaching years ago about the staircase of God, and how off the staircases of God there are secret chambers that you can explore in God and things that you can know about the glory of God. But there are all kinds of things that inhibit us exploring that staircase. So Jesus is telling His disciples, there's more for you. And He's revealing Himself to them. But as soon as a revelation about God is rejected, or something that God designs for our life is rejected, then God will leave off talking to us. There is a place in God that God desires to draw us toward. There are experiences through suffering and through sacrifice that God would draw us toward, that He would compel us to participate with Him in, if we will receive it. But when we reject it, when we push the red button, and when we eject ourselves from the plan and the process, then the revelation stops. And what happens then is we continue to roam around in the same circle with no new information, kind of like wandering in the wilderness. And there's frustration that sets in, and there's angst that sets in. The entire chapter of Matthew 10 from our text is one of these progressive moments between Jesus and His disciples. Go and read it in your own time. It's a compelling passage. In the light, He says, honor your father and your mother, that your days will be long upon the earth. But in the dark, He says, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. You see, there are stages to this. When you're young, it's honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. But as you get older, and as you draw closer to the kingdom of God, at every stage in the journey, it's going to cost you something. And so in the light, it's honor your father and your mother. But in the darkness, in this place of solitude with a handful of men, He says, your adversaries are going to be the people in your own house. You better go ahead. And He's telling them, I know where you are, I know where you're living, and I know the amount of revelation that you possess. And if you keep preaching what you know, if you keep preaching this revelation, it's going to set you against some people that you love. There are people in the house tonight that living for God has cost you some relationships. Is this the truth? The more progressive the revelation, the more that it's going to cost you. In the dark, He will tell them, you have to hate mother, father, brother, and sister, or you can't even be my disciple. In the light, He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. But in the darkness, He says, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. He didn't come to bring peace. He came to set father against son and mother against daughter. He tells them in the darkness, discipleship is going to require a cross. If any man would be my disciple, he must deny himself and take up his cross and come and follow me. You see, when God created the world, He created the sun and the moon. He created the greater light and the lesser light. He created one to rule the day, and He created one to rule the night. Both govern, both rule. But darkness will produce things in your life that will empower your ministry that nothing in the light can produce. Jesus said, what I tell you in the darkness, that's what you're going to preach in the light. He said, what I whisper in your ear, that's what you're going to shout from the rooftops. And what He's telling them is, if you're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, number one, you've got to have some seasons of your life where you are immersed in darkness. You've got to have some seasons of your life that are filled with uncertainty. You've got to have some seasons. I'm telling you, if you want to be effective in the kingdom of God, it's going to require this gritty going to the wilderness. And when you get to the wilderness, you're going to have some cave experiences in God that are going to infuse you with knowledge that you will never get in times of peace, that you will never get in times of prosperity, that you will never get in times of plenty. There are some seasons of your life where you are going to encounter some things that are They're going to bring revelation. They're going to bring understanding. They're going to bring knowledge. And it's going to make you effective in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about conversations that happen in the dark. Those conversations in my life were the ones that have defined everything else about my life. The conversations in the dark. I remember being a young person. I know what it's like to be 17 years old in the church, hair just a little bit too long, holes in my jeans, flip-flops coming to church, a laissez-faire attitude about the kingdom of God. I know what it's like to be a young person in the church and to struggle with insecurity and fear, to have a call of God, to be being compelled by God, but to be out of my wits, afraid of what God wanted to do. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to hide from God. And I'm going to be a little bit transparent here tonight, as though I'm not always. But I know what it's like to arrive at a crossroads, to be at a place, Brother Dennis, where I was struggling, to be in a place where I got kicked out of the house at 17 years old, in the church, living for God, filled with the Holy Ghost, but struggling. And some things happened in my life that were not pleasant. Some of it I created for myself, and some of it was just misunderstanding. But I know what it's like to lay in bed and cry myself to sleep and not know what the alternative was going to be and not know what to do and not know why I felt so isolated and so alone. And then I know what it's like to finally make the decision. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. I'm going. And to plan my escape, Brother Kadarius. I'm leaving. I'm moving. So I was 19 years old. I told Ashley, it's like, I'm not staying. I'm not doing this anymore. I had heard some things from God, but the space between where I was and where God wanted to take me was so large that I could not conceive of how to reconcile it. And then we made the plan. I made the plan. I'm leaving. I'm going. And we broke up. I was done. I'm gone. I don't know when I'll be back. I don't know if I'll be back. Several nights in a row, crying myself to sleep. And then one night, Brother Eddie, God woke me up. He woke me up in the night. He spoke to me in the darkness. And he said, you can't leave. You're going to pastor this church one day. I'm talking about conversations that happen in the dark. I'm 39 years old. That conversation happened when I was 19. Brother Warren, you think I went and told anybody that? My wife had already said I did not marry a preacher. So that conversation was off limits. My friends knew better. So that conversation was off limits. But God will tell you as much as you want to know. As much as you're willing to sacrifice, he'll tell you. He will. He'll tell you. Brother Sam, go ahead and come. I'm done. This is different for me. This is just different. But that conversation in the darkness has been the single the single impetus for everything else I've done in my life. The books that I've read, the prayers that I've prayed, the studying, the attempt to position myself in a way to where what God has designed for my life has come to pass. That conversation in the darkness with God has defined me. Now, what about the in-between time? What about the seasons of looking at myself in the mirror and saying, who do you think you are? How do you think that's going to happen? How do you think you are going to do that? But that conversation was the central driving force to pursue the development and the books and the becoming, because I started to realize that what God wanted to do in my life was bigger than anything that I could comprehend with my natural mind. What God wanted to do with my life was bigger than my failure, was bigger than my insecurity, was bigger than my lack of education, was bigger than all of the things that I had dealt with, all of the failures and all of the self-loathing and all of the condemnation for everything that I wasn't in my life, because God had a plan and God had a purpose. Those conversations in the dark, Jesus said, what you hear in the darkness, that's what you're going to speak in the light. What you hear in the midnight, what you experience in your wilderness journey, is going to shape the thing that God is going to do in your life. And all of that becomes a part of the story. It all becomes a part of the testimony. It all becomes a part of the miracle. Brother Larry, Sister Danette, one morning I woke up and God spoke to me early in the morning. And he said, go and teach the Edelmans a Bible study. He gave me a plan. He gave me a formula. He said, this is what I want you to do. And I did it. And he told me exactly what would unfold. It wasn't just a strategy. It wasn't just a good idea. It was a conversation that happened in the dark. And I did it. And then, about a year and a half later, Brother Eddie and Sister Jackie called me, can you come and teach a Bible study in our home? And I was teaching two Bible studies about 5 minutes apart, passing each other's houses on Tuesday night. And then, man, when we started praying, God did amazing things in that Bible study. Miracles happened. Miraculous things happened in that Bible study. As a matter of fact, I will say this. I've been around the church my whole life. I have never seen as many miracles happen in a concentrated period of time than when I was teaching that Bible study. But I was doing something that I heard in the darkness. These signs shall follow them that believe. Believe what? God's got a plan. What's the plan? We just have to figure out what the plan is. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. If I'm going to be his disciple, I've got to deny myself. I've got to take up my own cross, my own burden, my own. We're all carrying a cross. But God will give more revelation if you will go to the last place that he spoke to you and say, what did you tell me? And, okay, I'm going to do that. And God says, okay, come up. Come closer. Let me show you some other things. Let me give you. I'm telling you, I could sit here for hours tonight telling you stories of things that God showed me in the dark. things I could not understand. Why is there this dilemma happening? I prayed about things that happened that were happening inside of me. God, why do I feel the way that I feel? God, and God showed me, literally showed me the face of a woman and said, this is the spirit, this is the generational issue, and this is how you resolve it. I could sit here for hours and tell you stories of things that God told me in the midnight, in the darkness, in a time of wandering in a wilderness, not knowing what was going to happen or where the help was going to come from. And the entire time, the Word of God, the Spirit of God was carrying me into a future that I didn't design and I didn't plan and I didn't program. But God is good and God is faithful, and God will bring His Word to pass with signs following. So I don't know what you're going through tonight, but in it, in the wilderness, in the midnight time, God has something to whisper in your ear. The power of your life and your contribution to the world. I'm talking about the legacy that you leave behind. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and God does that whole analysis of talent, like, what did I give you? What did I put in your hand? What were you capable of? Well, I don't know what I'm capable of. I know all the chaos I'm capable of. I've seen some of that. Brother Daniel, I know what I can tear down. But what can you build? I don't know what I can build. I don't know what I'm capable of. I don't know what potential God has placed in me. But when I stand before Him and He takes stock of my life and He evaluates what I built, I want Him to say, well done. Well done. Well done. Come and enter into your reward. You were faithful. Not faithful for self-aggrandizement. Not faithful for my own prosperity. Not faithful for what I can build on a horizontal plane. How much money I can make in business and how big of a house I can build or how many cars. None of that. But faithful with what God put in my hand to do. The revelation and the knowledge and the information and the potential that God has placed in my life. Let's all stand. Conversations in the darkness. Why don't we lift our hands to heaven for just a moment? Why don't you talk to God? Somebody talk to God right now. Open up your spirit to Him. God, give me understanding. Give me revelation. Let your glory rest upon me, oh God. Speak to my heart, God. Show me your plan. Show me your purpose. Show me your way, oh God. Greater revelation. Give me a greater knowledge of you, oh God. God, show me what you would have me to do, Lord. Come on, I don't know what it is. I don't know what God's calling you to do next, but there's a calling of God in this place. There's destiny in this house tonight. If you want to come down to the altar, if you want to come and consecrate your life, if you want to come and commit yourself to Him, take my hands, oh God. Take my feet, Lord. Take my heart. You can use me, every part of me, oh God. Let me be a vessel of honor in your kingdom, oh God.
I believe you said.
community, oh God. I'll make a difference on my job, oh God. I'll teach a Bible study. I'll witness to my coworkers, oh God. God, I want my life to count. I want my life to matter, Lord.
Pressure to that prayer right now. We trust in you.
say this before we dismiss tonight. God is not looking for perfection. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for 100% participation. 100%. He just wants it all. He's not looking for us to be perfect. He's looking for us to say yes with our body, our mind, and our spirit. All of us. He'll take care of the details. God will take care of the details. God will take... Ashley, where are you? Will he take care of the details? He'll take... As a matter of fact, God already knows what you're dreaming about. Ashley, he knows what you're dreaming about. He already knows what's in your imagination. He already knows what you desire. He made you with those desires. And he's going to bring you into your desired haven. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for 100% of who you are. I'm telling you, I feel in this place tonight like there are some things that people in this church have heard God speak in the darkness. And you've been ruminating on it for a long time. God is calling you to begin to put the pieces in place to act on that word. Does that resonate with anybody here? It's time to move forward with the vision. It's time to move forward with the inspiration. One more time, why don't we give God a hand clap of praise? Somebody love them. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.